You're listening to Advocate Radio, where it's all about the neighborhood. This is the Lake Highlands podcast for July 20th. And here with me today are Carol Toller, our neighborhood blogger.
Hello.
Ellen Raff, neighborhood columnist.
Hi.
And I'm Carrie Mitchell, one of the editors here at Advocate. We're going to start out today by talking about signage in Lake Highlands. It's a topic that Ellen has covered both on the blog and in her column for July's magazine. Ellen, tell us a little bit about what interested you in this in the first place.
Well, what interested me, I knew about the fact that there was a new sign ordinance and that it was starting to affect people in Lake Highlands, but it's just like, you know, until it becomes personal, it isn't, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But I happen to love the Quilters Connection Shop, which is located over on Plano Road at Walnut Hill. And someone mentioned to me that the lady there was depressed because she had been warned to change her signs. And so that got me a little bit more interested in how it was really affecting the business people in Lake Highlands. And so knowing there's two sides to every story, I was trying to figure out the reason for the new code, which really severely limits the kinds of signs that business owners can have in their windows. And I called Jerry Allen, our councilman, and he explained that really he takes his hat off to the original intent of it, which came from some city councilmen in a different sector who were trying to clean up the look of their the business places there. And so we all think of clutter. We can think of some places that are cluttered that we'd like to see that cleaned up. And they're probably advertising things that we wish they wouldn't advertise with ugly signs. And so we can say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. But then when it starts to affect businesses that are our favorite businesses that are groceries or, you know, just maybe a local business that has been in our area for a long time, like AAA Vacuum, then we're not so sure.
You know, I agree, Ellen. After I read your post, it was something I hadn't really thought of before, and at first blush, the rule seemed to make sense because I have been in some of those stores, the kind of yucky, dirty convenience stores with a bunch of cigarette ads and Playboy magazines on the rack, and I kind of think, you know, this is not what I'd like to see in my neighborhood. But the AAA Vacuum is a staple of the area. I go there all the time. Neighborhood people run it. You know, they have had break-ins and different things going on in their businesses. It's something that I think the community has supported through some tough times, good times and tough times. They've been around many years. And their signs have been the same for as long as I've been in the neighborhood. And so to think that all of a sudden they're getting warnings and potential fines, I think all of us just want to keep that business propped up and not do anything that makes them kind of throw in the towel. It's neighborhood people with, you know, families and neighborhood schools and all that. So it seems like throwing out the baby with the bathwater it seems like they're penalizing established businesses with good intentions, and the businesses that seem to be a problem seem to be going on.
Well, the question is, what is a problem? You know, the question is, how can you judge? When if you're trying to sell phone cards and cigarettes and beer, maybe, you know, maybe, oh, not in our area, though, excuse me, I went too far. But, in fact, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're imagining, that they're not going to, you know, that those shops in the southern sector won't be able to have ugly signs, you know, in their window. But we have convenience stores here. And, in fact, what's interesting also is if you look around, you might wonder what's the deal, because plenty of places seem to be violating the sign ordinance mm-hmm. still. When I went to visit the Quilters Connection, she had taken everything out of her window because she did not want to in any way take the risk that she was going to get fined. But she told me that others in the same strip mall, and there is a convenience store there, had also been warned. But they had taken down some of the signs, but not all of the signs. And even Quilter's Connection, she showed me that the painted sign with her hours on the door, you know, that was a violation. That surprised me because I thought, well, what's the big deal? Just, you know, get it painted onto the door and then you don't need a sign in the door. No, it's painted on the door. You can see through the letters, but that's still a violation. So a lot of the businesses do have these sort of permanent painted signs on their windows that they're just waiting to see a little bit what happens. Surprisingly, or maybe, I don't know if it's surprising that there's a lawsuit, but interestingly, there is a lawsuit that has been brought by the Institute of Justice or Institute for Justice, which is it's a national organization, but the Texas chapter is helping some of the businesses here. They've talked to a lot of businesses in Dallas. I know in Lake Highlands, the ones that are participating, one of them is AAA Vacuum. Another one is Fast Signs, who is in the business of selling signs. But we're not so sure whether that lawsuit is really going to do anything that's really helpful. There's been a Institute for Justice is trying to get a motion passed that will at least suspend the fines until the lawsuit is resolved. But they're not getting a lot of respect from the city on that. They don't really even have a hearing scheduled on it. They were hoping there might be some kind of hearing scheduled in July, and just checked with them, and that's not happened yet. So,
would there be a way for the merchants to find out exactly what is legal and exactly what isn't? It seems confusing. I know after I read your post, I was driving around and noticed a lot of neon open signs that are kept turned off now. Perhaps businesses aren't exactly sure what they can and cannot leave up or turn on or whatever. Maybe it's confusing.
It's very confusing. There are copies. When you get warned, they give you copies of the ordinance. I was told I could find that online. I have to say it was not easy at all. I looked online, and it was not easy. I couldn't really figure it out, except that I can say, having attended a presentation by the Institute for Justice, that basically the windows are supposed to be pretty much empty. Almost like one of the arguments is, well, police need to see in those windows. But I think that's just a red herring argument, because it's really not what I was told by the city council. So they want any signs to not take up more than 15% of the window, which is tiny. And you would have to put the sign down below in the window so that, like, if a car is parked in front of the window, that sign can't be seen. So it's really pretty strict. So that's why, you're right, if you look around, you'll see that businesses are kind of waiting. They would have to de-install some of those signs.
Kind of replace new with new windows.
Or take off some of the paint, which seems really sad. So
yeah. So we're not sure yet what's going to happen with that, but I guess we'll keep following the Institute for Justice lawsuit.
Well, meanwhile, yes, as you noticed, maybe, AAA Vacuum is making a point of keeping their signs up and hoping that they will not be hit with the maximum possible fines, which, like, as it comes down, you know, there are the maximum possible we were talking about is can be up to 1,000, even higher than 1,000, but then per day. So
yeah, those fines can get really steep. It's the same way I've done some stories on other kind of, it's not exactly code enforcers, but people in those kinds of positions in various neighborhoods, and that's somewhat their last resort, but they do use that threat of, we can fine you and we will fine you $1,000 a day. And the hard thing with code is what you get fined for is pretty much at the whim of the code compliance officer that is working your area and finds you. And so she's right, at Quilter's Connection, you can't really take that risk if you don't want to have to pay that fine.
Especially those businesses that are that small, even a small fine for 30 days or 90 days, it could be enough to put them out of business.
Right. Well, let's talk about another area of interest. Again, talking about businesses, but more from a customer perspective. Carol wrote somewhat of an infamous blog post a few years ago in Lake Highlands after dining at Mi Casina. And
there are still some people who won't speak to me.
Oh, my. Wow. She, why don't you tell us about your experience that evening?
You know, my original blog post from a couple of years ago was just after an experience of my husband and I having dinner at Mi Casina, and it was busy that night, so we ate in the bar, and we got four kids, and it was kind of a rare date night, and we were looking forward to a date night out, and the experience in the bar was mass chaos, and there were kids running and screaming and laying on the floor and having sword fight with straws, and it was not the evening that we had hoped for. And so I kind of got home and wrote a little post, and it had a big reaction. At the time, a lot of people who agreed with me emailed me to say they had had similar experiences. At the time, a lot of people with young children were offended, and I do apologize. It was not my intent to offend anybody, and also it was not my intent to say that my children are perfect, and which lots of people were quick to point out to me, which that is an understatement. But it was more just intended. It was my musings, and it became thought provoking, and to that extent, it was successful. And I think it made people think about where is the right place to have a family dinner if you've got a couple of I had four children in 6 years, so I always had loud, crazy evenings out. But I think there sometimes is a time and a place, and there's some sometimes some actions you can take if you kind of go have a child who's going to be loud or whatever. My husband and I sometimes split dinner. I'll eat while you walk the toddler outside, and then you eat while I walk the other one outside. So it's been thought-provoking, and that's a good thing. I think a lot of the response I had from people my age and my situation whose kids are kind of grown is that been there, done that, understand it, but would like to. The discussion is that perhaps young parents of today have a different mindset. I don't know if this is true or not. The discussion has been that perhaps young parents today are more quickly offended by someone else disciplining their child or intervening in some way, and feel more entitled to say, my toddler has a right to eat here just as much as you do. I see that side. There are others who say that there's a responsibility on the parent to either ensure that the child is behaving or walk them out. So it's been a lively discussion.
It has been. And it came back up again, I think, last week when you posted about a restaurant in Canada that has a civil lawsuit against it.
Correct. They actually, a parent who was turned away, they had kind of had a family dinner party with a baby in a car seat. So it was a young child. But they were turned away and told that babies weren't allowed at this restaurant, and they filed a human rights violation complaint in Canada, and so they're waiting to see the outcome of that. And similar to our blog post, people in Canada were on both sides of the aisle commenting. Some of the people who were in the restaurant were happy to avoid the risk of a child. The child was behaving at the time, was quiet at the time, but you know, if dinner goes an hour, if you have a group, it sometimes is longer than that. You can't promise that your child. I never could promise it mine, even at the age they are today. I can't promise they'll behave for an hour and a half. So, I think there were people on both sides, and again, a lot of young parents in Ottawa, where the restaurant was, say their children have just as much of a right to go out and have dinner as any adult does. So I can see both sides.
It is kind of an interesting debate. We're actually celebrating my one-year-old's daughter my one-year-old's birthday this week, and in trying to pick a restaurant, there's only going to be a couple kids in our party. We're actually having mostly adults with us, but we are going to Mariano's. They have a party room. It's a perfect kind of place for rambunctious, you don't exactly know what's going to happen situations. And, you know, even before my daughter was born, we had lots of conversations about where are we going to eat out? Are we going to be able to eat out? And I think as parents, you kind of find those places where your kids are, the staff is okay with your kids, or the customers are okay with your kids. I've actually heard from a lot of parents over the years that Mi Cocina is very, very kid friendly, which is a wonderful thing, except for those people who are trying to have a good date night out. And so,
and I don't know if the bar is the right place.
That might be a little bit too much.
You know, that just might be a line in the sand. But I think the deeper discussion is, do parents today get embarrassed when their child is running, yelling, screaming, crying, shouting, spilling on the floor? When my children were 2, 4, 6, and 8, I was humiliated if I was at a restaurant and they were throwing drinks and whatever. I don't know if it's the same for parents today. I don't know. And you wouldn't want to also paint with a broad brush.
Sure.
Every parent's different. In my age, parents, everybody's different. But, it just may be a different mindset in general. I don't know.
It may be a different mindset. I actually can see that with my peers that, I mean, I have some very good friends who parent very differently than I and are probably much more okay with their children running around and doing whatever. Maybe you just get worn down after 3. I don't really know. I'll let you know when I get there. It's always, even before we had kids, we just were kind of going, you know, how can you do that? But some people are okay with it.
And I saw a good friend, Larry Locke, at a wedding this weekend, and he said, you know, he said he read the blog post, and he said he was actually at Mi Cocina this week, and a 30-year-old was being wild and loud at the next booth. So it can be people of all ages that can
True.
Be disruptive. It's more the attitude of what is the parent's response.
Sure.
Is there a response? My sister-in-law had dinner in a restaurant in her neighborhood, and it was payway. It was, some sort of fast foodish. It wasn't a very nice restaurant. But she said the parent, there were a bunch of parents sitting at one table, and the kids were sitting at another table. And the kids went over and got the bin of all the fortune cookies and were opening every fortune cookie in the entire bin and throwing the cookies on the floor and the wrappers on the floor until they found a fortune cookie they liked. And so my sister-in-law was at a different table, and she went to the manager and said, look, those people over there, the kids are opening all fortune cookies. And she said, you might want to tell their parents or something. He said, oh, no, wouldn't possibly do that. It would offend those parents, and I would rather buy a new bin of cookies than offend those customers.
Wow.
So, you know, it seems like that's a different way of looking at things today than 20 years ago when my kids were little.
Yeah, I think that is slightly different. Let's move on to one more topic. The Lake Highlands North Recreation Center is looking to be in some dire straits. Ellen, you've written about this on the blog. Tell us what's happening there.
Yes, well, the reason it first came to my attention when I got an email from Jean Larson, who teaches the adult exercise classes there at the rec center. And because I take her class, and so she keeps in touch with us, telling us what, you know, if a class is going to be canceled or for some reason she needs to tell us something. But she had a conversation with Lindsay Ryder, who is the manager at the rec center, and Lindsay also is manager at another center. I'm not sure which one, but because of the budget constraints, she has been. She doubles up and manages 2 rec centers. That happened last year when they did the budget work, and they had to peel back a lot of the hours for all the centers. So Lindsay Ryder is worried about the rec centers. Now, when I placed the blog, we got some responses. First of all, saying that people were very concerned about it. Then eventually there was a blog from Joan Wallen, who is a representative for District 10 with the Park Board. And she said on her blog that they don't expect Lake Highlands North to be one of those that will have to close. And how bad is this closing, by the way? 34 out of 43 are scheduled to stay open. That's sort of the numbers, whether or not that
in the city, you mean?
In the city of Dallas, whether or not that will hold, we don't know, but those are the numbers that have been published.
And they're expected to close because of lack of funding?
Lack of funding.
And that, basically that, tax dollars.
That the city this year has to cut back even further than they did last year.
Are they closing temporarily or permanently? That we don't know.
It's believed that it will be permanent for some of them. For the ones that end up being closed, chances are good. No one is saying this is temporary.
Okay.
So part of Joan Wallen's post addressed that the center is scheduled to close anyway for renovations, and it will be closed 8 to 10 months.
When does that start?
That should be... I'm not quite sure. It's posted at the rec center. I think it's the end of August or right when school starts.
Okay.
Around that time. But then people have a hard time trusting that when a place closes for renovations, that it is going to open again if there are budget problems. So we're assured that it is, but no one is really saying, well, that's the trouble. You know, but we are saying that when we were told before that when the rec center would close, our exercise class and other activities we'd have another place to go to. Well, if some of the centers are going to be closing, we're not so sure we'll have another place to go to. So,
and where's the closest rec center other than Lake Highlands North?
There's Campbell Green, and then there's another one down, I think it's called Mid, I'm sorry, I just don't know exactly. Down Royal, there's another one.
Okay.
Mid-Cities, something like that. It's not close. And then I'm thinking of another one way south by the public golf course. So, I mean, it's not real close. Mid-Cities, I'm thinking, might be the one. Anyway, the problem is that people who don't use rec centers are saying, well, what's the big deal? Why do we need rec centers? Why should our tax dollars go to that? We don't use it. But a lot of people do use them. And as far as property values, if you've got a good maintained rec center near you, that will help. That helps just like a good school does, keeping your property values up. Another thing is that really it's an area of community. It's just one more place where people show up and they see other neighbors that just maintains that sense of community where you're not going to see those people anymore if the rec center isn't open.
You know, and I like that there's a lot of diversity at the rec center, both inside and out, in the spray park and at the in the picnic grounds and... you know, our neighborhood is diverse, and we sometimes complain about that, but the truth is Lake Highlands loves the diversity, and I think that's one place where you see lots of different people, all ages, all races, all socioeconomic groups, sitting down and having a picnic together or working out in the rec room or making crafts in the craft room.
Or playing on the spray park.
Right, or playing basketball in the gym. And I love that. And a lot of people have mentioned your blog post to me that they were concerned and what could they do. And I think I'm glad that Joan commented to your post that she feels confident that if any rec centers are staying, ours is, because it is so well used and there is a lot of revenue generated as different from other rec centers around town. There are paying customers that use the gym and some of the classes and different things. So she feels good about the fact that if the city's able to keep any, they'll keep ours. And I know she's a fierce advocate for us for that. She's a fierce advocate for getting the spray park and partnering with the Junior Women's League to get some of the additions and improvements around the site and in the building and all that. So it's good that we have her fighting for us. But I know what you mean about being cynical sometimes about people saying, don't worry, it's okay. And the next, you know, I remember I used to be a member of Valley Fitness Center, and they put a sign on their door, closed for renovations. And the next thing I know, I saw a moving truck moving all their equipment out, and they, of course, they were closed for good. So you just, it's hard to trust anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll all come out for the best. We're going to end on that note. Thanks so much for listening to the Lake Highlands podcast. This has been an edition of Advocate Radio, where it's all about the neighborhood.